Thank you, guys. Beautiful worship. Beautiful worship. Well, again, good morning, everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord with you. And, you know, in light of everything that's taking place right now all around us, we're finding it very easy to find ourselves in places of discouragement, places of wonderment, going, what's going to happen next? What, you know, this unsurety that can creep in. And one of the things we want to be mindful of as believers is the hope that we have in Jesus never leaves. The hope that we have in Christ never leaves. It's a permanent fixture. That hope is always there. He never separates that hope from us. We can sometimes be tricked and deceived into separating from that hope. And that's where we need to draw on God's grace. That's the topic this morning I wanted to share with you that God put on my heart is grace. And we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 5, verse 20. That's going to be the main scripture point, the focal point of the text this morning. Romans 5:20. By the way, if you need a Bible, slip your hand up. We'll get a Bible to you, and you can keep it, mark it up. I got one over here. Anybody else needs one, just slip your hand up so you can follow along with us. Very important to follow along through the Word of God. And we're going to be in Romans chapter 5, verse 20 is what we're going to look at. The verse says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more." Father, we commit this time to you, Lord. These next few moments that we have, they're precious. Lord, as the saints gather, in Jesus' name, Lord, we pray that you would minister to our hearts, that you would teach us, that your Spirit would work within us, that you would reveal yourself to us, Lord, this morning. Change us. Mold us. Lord, we desire to be more and more in the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus. So please, Lord, do a mighty work in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Grace, the topic of grace, more specifically, God's grace. Grace has been described by many as getting or receiving something we do not deserve. Others have said that it is God's unmerited favor. And then there are others that declare some wonderful acronyms for grace, God's righteousness at Christ's expense. These are all wonderful descriptions of grace. In fact, they're all true. But this morning, my prayer, the desire this morning, is that we would better understand or have a better understanding of God's grace and how important it is in our lives, not only receiving God's grace, but also giving grace. The Greek word for grace is charis, and it literally means to have a divine influence upon the heart, leading to a reflection in our life. That's an important part of that definition. Yes, some would say it's a divine influence upon the heart and then stop. But that's not the correct description of it. When you look up that word, it is a divine influence upon the heart leading to a reflection in our life. So it's not only supposed to enter into us as believers, God's grace, but it's also to change our lives and become a part of who we are. Grace is so important. It's so very important. And it's a word that oftentimes can be neglected. It's a word that oftentimes can even be abused. You know, for the one who continually backslides and continually goes back into the world, you know, he can stiff arm and say, "Grace, brother, grace, grace." You know, we don't want to abuse God's grace. It's precious. In fact, in this text that we read this morning, let's just look again at verse 20 of chapter 5. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. The law entered that the offense might abound. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful we are. I mean, we take a look at the Ten Commandments. Let's look at, you know, God's law. I'll read them to you. Number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Number two, you shall not make any carved images, as well as do not worship these images. Number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number five, honor your father and your mother. Number six, you shall not murder. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. Number eight, you shall not steal. Number nine, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And number 10, you shall not covet. Covetousness is, by the way, that's not just wanting something that somebody has. Covetousness is wanting what someone else has have and not wanting them to have it. So it's a next level wicked desire for something. It's not just wanting that thing, but I want what you have and I don't want you to have it. Right. Now God gives us the Ten Commandments. He gives us this law that Paul speaks of here in verse 20. And when he says the law entered that the offense might abound, what he's saying is God has given us this law so that we could recognize the greatness of our sin. We could recognize just how short we all fall of the glory of God. The law, the commandments are there as a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. They're designed for us to see our sinfulness in the light of perfect righteousness and holy God, to see our sinfulness. Why? So that we can know our desperate need for a Savior. So that we can know our desperate need for forgiveness. Right? It's designed, and that's the purpose of God's law here. And that's why Paul, when he says the law entered that the offense might abound, that's what he's speaking of. That the offense would be recognizable and it would be great. That we would all recognize that just how sinful we are. He then goes on to say, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So I like what Romans 3:23 declared. Paul declared in Romans 3, verse 23, he said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. It's like a level playing field with the Lord. God does not pick favorites. He does not love anybody less than another. God's love is everlasting. His love is perfect. Right? He doesn't change. But mankind, we're all in different areas in our life. We're all in different places in our life. But it's good to know this, that if you're here this morning, you're in good company, especially if you feel like, man, I blew it this week. Because, man, that's me right here. And I know I'm in good company because we can all say amen to that. Amen. Right? It's a level playing field here. We all need forgiveness. D.L. Moody described the law. He said, the law tells me how crooked I am. He says, grace comes along and straightens me out. So under the law, we're guilty. But in verse 21, following verse 20, says, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So under the law, we're guilty, but under grace through Jesus Christ, we find righteousness and eternal life. We find forgiveness there. So God doesn't leave us in a place of hopelessness, in a place of how do I escape? How do I find forgiveness? How can I find righteousness? He doesn't leave us in a place where we're hopeless. But he gives us his son. He gives us Jesus. See, Jesus fulfilled the law perfectly, and he did that. He lived without sin for a purpose, that he would be the perfect, righteous sacrifice to atone or pay for our sins. Had to be a perfect, spotless sacrifice. It had to be. And only Jesus could do that. Only Jesus could do that. God's grace, in fact, is at the very center of our salvation. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. What does it say? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God. It's a gift. Right? And again, when we see that, we go, okay, wait a minute, it's a gift. There's nothing we can do to earn this gift or say we deserve this gift. It is a gift of God, salvation. And the grace is a gift from God. I want to read something describing this grace, because ultimately grace points to Jesus. So I want to share with you out of John chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 14 to 17. This is describing Jesus. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. Right? This is the biggest game changer in mankind's history. Right? Here comes Jesus. The law, under the law, was there was condemnation, there was guilt, there was no fleeing from it because it's perfect. And then comes Jesus and says, I can fulfill that. And I will. And he did. Because we couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. Listen, on our best day, none of us could come close to fulfilling those Ten Commandments. You have a bad thought about anything, you blew it. You tell a lie, you blew it. You ever lied in your whole entire life? You blew it. Right? There is this strict righteousness in the Ten Commandments that cannot be nudged, it cannot be moved, and we're all guilty. So here comes Jesus, and he fulfilled it so we wouldn't have to. So according to John, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth through Christ Jesus. The fullness of Christ, it said, grace for grace. The fullness of Christ. And we get a much clearer picture of what this grace Paul is describing here in Romans, as he's describing in verse 20 and verse 21, the purpose of the law, but also the purpose of grace through Christ Jesus. The purpose of that, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could find mercy, when we could find forgiveness, we can find righteousness in Christ, in him. Martin Luther declared that the law works fear and wrath, but grace works hope and mercy. When we neglect the grace of God in our lives, we're neglecting our very hope. When we abuse the grace of God in our lives, we are abusing the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We're abusing it. We're abusing our eternal hope. We're abusing the righteousness of Christ. We're abusing the price that he paid on the cross for us, because we're abusing the grace that works hope and mercy in our lives. Paul was so stern about this in this letter to the Romans. to not abuse this grace. In fact, if you look in your Bible in chapter 6, verse 1, which is following right after 21 of verse 5, or chapter 5, Paul describes here, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul's saying, should we continue in our sinful life so that we could see grace abound? His answer, verse 2, certainly not. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Now, and I would even declare this morning as well, how shall we who have died to sin and been forgiven not walk in the grace of God? We can't. In fact, we're going to see here in a few moments that God's grace is all through the Bible. All through the Bible. In fact, His grace is mentioned 172 times throughout the Bible. Whether it's an admonishment, a greeting, or describing God's grace and what it has accomplished, in whether it's the life of David or Noah or Abraham or Paul or Peter. So grace is mentioned over 100, well, I think it's 172 times in New King James. This grace is precious. And as believers, we must be careful, as Paul says, we don't want to abuse this grace. You know, just kind of going through briefly through the Bible here, I want to share some verses that reflect God's grace and how important God's grace is. In Genesis chapter 6, grace was given to Noah to deliver mankind from the flood. Though it was only Noah and his family that chose to obey, God's grace allowed Noah the opportunity to proclaim to the people, get on the ark and save them. In Exodus chapter 4, it was grace that allowed Moses to bring Aaron with him to Pharaoh because he had a speech impediment. You remember that story, right? Go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go, right? And Moses says, but Lord, I don't speak well. And it even says that the Lord's anger was kindled. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm giving you grace here. It says that he gave him grace, and that grace allowed him to bring Aaron with him. In chapter 33 of Exodus, we can see that grace is what brought God's presence into the midst of the people. You know, it's grace that we're here this morning. It's grace that we're gathering this morning. Every good step that you take, Christian, every good step that you take and everything that you have done in your life that is fruitful or there's any good in it, it is wrapped up in God's grace. It's by His grace. Continuing through the scriptures, Ezra, we can read in Ezra, he declared that it was God's grace that saved a remnant of the Jews from the captivity and the bondage to restore God's people, to bring the house of worship back. That was God's grace. In Psalm 84, verse 11, God's grace brings about His goodness in our life. God's grace. In Acts chapter 4, verse 33, it was grace that gave the apostles the strength to be a witness and testify of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. In Acts chapter 14, verse 26, it was God's grace that equips us for the work that He has planned. Oh, it gets better. You're thinking, that's a lot of grace there. No, it gets better. Romans 3:23 says that we are justified by grace and redeemed in Christ Jesus. By His grace. In Romans chapter 5, verse 2, it says that you and I have continual access to, by faith, to God's grace. We have continual access to the grace of God. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 tells us that under God's grace, sin will no longer have dominion over us. In Romans chapter 12, it gets better and better. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it's God's grace, by and through God's grace, that we are even given a measure of faith at all. Yeah. The measure of faith that God gives each and one of us, that's by His grace. Again, we don't earn this. We don't deserve this. This is God's gift. Remember that, God's gift. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, it says that grace is given to us by Christ Jesus. You're thinking, that's a lot of grace. It gets better. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, it tells us that grace trumps or defeats worldly wisdom. The wisdom of the world. God's grace trumps that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, it is God's grace that spreads through many, and it causes us all to abound in thanksgiving to the Lord. His grace. We so desperately need to be aware of God's grace in our lives. We desperately need this. We're actually told in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, we are told to abound in grace. It gets better. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and I know that we can all testify this morning, when we are weak, God's grace will strengthen us, and His grace will be sufficient for our time of weakness. Man. By Galatians chapter 1, verse 5, it says that by God's grace, He called us to Himself. That He called us to Himself. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, tells us that in the riches of God's grace, we find redemption through the shed blood of Jesus, also forgiveness of sins. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, through our speech, we are allowed the privilege to impart grace to those who are listening. So we can see just how important grace is. It's all through Scripture. I only touched on a few verses there. But God's grace is all through the Scripture, at the very center of our salvation. And this is why in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, when Paul was encouraging young Timothy, he told Timothy, he said, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in that grace. And to be strong in the grace of God means not only do we recognize our need for His grace and our dependency upon His grace, but that we also give that grace out. We have to give the grace out. There are oftentimes things in our lives that can enter in that try to get us off track, to deter us from the grace of God in our lives. But you know, as I mentioned earlier, what we're taught about God's grace, how precious it is, and it is a gift, we're taught that we need His grace to accomplish anything. The Apostle Paul declared that he was who he was by the grace of God. Anything good that comes out of our lives, it's going to be by God's grace. And that's why oftentimes, if somebody comes to me and they're struggling, whether it's something with something physical, or they're just going through something, one of the things I always point to is God's grace. And I'll encourage them, you know what, draw on the grace of God right now. Draw on His grace. Why? It's accessible, right? And God has no limited supply of it, right? We've learned that over the last few months, how quickly supplies can disappear. Not God's grace. No, the shelves are full. And there's no limit to two per customer. Yep. It's as much as you want. As much as you're willing to receive and as much as you're willing to give out. I mean, I would just encourage you this morning to be reminded that it's going to be God's grace, period, that gets us through anything in our lives. And we do desperately need it. I want to share a scripture out of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, let me get there. Second Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you and me, through his poverty, might become rich." That's God's grace. That's the selfless, sacrificial grace of God. Jesus had everything. As it says here in that scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, he needed nothing. He gave up everything. He gave up everything. Why? So that we could inherit everything. That we could proclaim that through Christ Jesus, we stand here this morning and we are rich. We are forgiven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it tells us, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God." Yes, that's Jesus. That's grace. He who knew no sin, he fulfilled the law perfectly, knew no sin, he willingly and lovingly bore our sin and our shame, all of that, that we might become the righteousness of God. Try to figure that out on any kind of paper or mathematics. You can't. This is God's grace on display. If I had to say, if I had to make a picture of grace, if I had to just pick an object to describe God's grace, honestly, the only thing I can think of is it's right behind me. That's grace. The tree, the cross, that Jesus hung and bled and died on and suffered for you and I. So that no matter what we're facing in our lives, no matter what the world situation is, all of that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Our hope is eternal. And our hope isn't going anywhere. He paid far too great a price for us as believers to waver to the left or to the right and to walk around hopeless. That is not what God desires for the believer. He desires us to be spirit-filled, spirit-led, walking in love, and abounding in grace and being strong in that grace. We need to be strong in the grace of God, church. Because as times are approaching, not only are we going to desperately need more and more grace, but we're going to need to show it to a dying world. We're going to need to show it. Our love is going to need to be authentic. Our motivations are going to need to be righteous. We are going to need to purpose to love, to minister to the lost, and we can't do that apart from God's grace. That's how important this grace is. We cannot do it apart from God's grace. We're all here this morning by God's grace. I want to encourage you this morning, church, please, please be aware of God's grace in your life. You can't do anything without it. I can't do anything without it. You need forgiveness. You need mercy. Great. But know that that is a gift of God's grace, that he would give you that. Do not neglect the grace of God that has been given to you. We're going to need it. Maybe you're here this morning and you're going, man, I need it right now. You know what? You're in a good place. In fact, you're in the best place this morning. Because God would speak to our hearts this morning and he would remind us not only his love for us, but that he has grace for you right now. Right now. And he's not running short. He's got plenty of it. How much do you want? How much grace do you need? He's got it. He's got it all. He's got it in abundance, and he gives abundantly, and he is waiting for us to say, Lord, we need to draw on your grace. Lord, we need your grace, please. And oftentimes, I can't tell you how often, the prayer, my prayer, before anything in ministry, is, God, I need your grace. I need your grace to accomplish anything. I need your grace to do anything right. I need your grace to raise my children. I need your grace to hold my marriage tight and knit together. I need your grace to hold this church together. I need your grace to minister to the people. I need your grace, Lord, to walk in love in times of hatred. I need your grace to walk in forgiveness and mercy in times of punishment and liars and thieves everywhere. I need your grace, Lord. And I would encourage you this morning, church, to draw on the grace of God. Draw on his grace. Wherever you're at, whatever it is that you need this morning, God is willing to give you abundantly more than you can ask, more than you can even imagine. And it's going to be by his grace. So is grace important? Absolutely. Grace is at the very heart of Christ and at the very heart of salvation. We need grace. Grace upon grace upon grace, if we're going to accomplish anything this side of heaven. And you know what? It's by grace that you find salvation in Christ. And my prayer this morning is that if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then God's grace is speaking to you this morning. He's speaking to you and he's describing his great love, and you're hearing all these scriptures and you're going, that sounds great, but I haven't felt that. Because you need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And by his grace, he offered himself up to the cross so that you could come to him and say, Lord Jesus, please be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me for my sins. And you will find God's grace there. So before we close, I want to give you that opportunity this morning. I want to give you the opportunity to receive the greatest gift of grace ever, and that is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so if you would like to this morning, in fact, if we could all just bow our heads for a moment. This is a very serious decision. Church, I pray that you're all saved. And I don't know where you're at with the Lord, but he does. If you would like to pray this morning and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, with our heads bowed, our hearts in a place of worship to the Lord, I would like you just to slip your hand up, and I want to pray with you this morning. Do not leave this place without Jesus. Do not leave without Jesus. He loves you too much. Anybody would like to receive Jesus this morning, slip your hand up. Don't leave this place without him. He loves you. He adores you. And for those of you that are here this morning and you're seeking God's grace, and maybe you're going through a tough time right now, or you're going through a struggle, something physical, spiritual, whatever it might be. As I close in prayer, I'd like you to just raise your hand up if you need prayer this morning. If you need God's divine grace to help, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. See all those hands. Shows us how much we need God's grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace. Lord, for every hand that's lifted here this morning, God. Lord, would you do what you tell us you will in your word? Lord, would you pour out your grace upon these lives, Lord? Would you pour out your grace upon us, Lord, in such a way that we could walk in a manner that's worthy of our calling, Lord, what you've called us to do, to walk in love, to walk in the Spirit, to walk in wisdom, and to walk in grace. Lord, bless these brothers and sisters who have those arms up, Lord. Meet them right where they're at. We thank you, Lord, that by your grace, your presence is in this place. And we praise you, Lord. We worship you this morning. We adore you. And we continue to praise you, Lord, and worship you. We love you. We thank you, Lord, for the salvation that you've given us and the beautiful, wonderful grace that you've shown us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's stand and worship the Lord together.